All right, well, let's open up with the word of prayer. Father God, we come before you this morning, Lord, just to invite your presence, Lord, that you would just be here among us, that you would touch our hearts, touch our lives, and show us your face, and give us a wisdom of who you are and how you want us to live. And Lord, the bottom line is we want to be used by you. And Lord, in order for us to be used by you, we have to know everything about you through your word. And we just ask that we could be your children and be effective the way that you called us. And once again, we just invite your presence and ask that you would guide us, lead us, and teach us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today's lesson, very simple, very basic. It's something we all know, but I think I'm presenting it as an awareness, as a way to, let's be active. Let's try to start something. Let's try to do something within the church. And what brought this on was I was talking to one of my hospice patients the other day. And I asked him, I said, what advice would you leave? I always try to ask the patients what advice they would leave for their family or what last things would you like to say. That way, once they pass, I can relay that message and it brings things closer. So I said, what advice would you like to leave or would you give people, specifically young people? And he said the advice that he would give is to tell people to look for an opportunity to help others. He said, there comes a point when all of us need help, and to help others is what we're designed to do. That's what we should be doing. So I went and looked at some scripture as I was talking to him, reread some scripture about helping others. And I'm getting ready to speak at a pastor's breakfast in November, trying to get all the pastors together. And I'm trying to build this gap, trying to bridge this gap of let's not let no one fall through the cracks. You know, sometimes church members, it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind. Sometimes you hear church members saying, hey, I haven't been in church in a while, and no one's contacted me, or something's come up and no one's contacted me. And that's a sad state to be in. It happens. I see it all the time. And then yesterday at our elders meeting, we was kind of talking about how it has happened within our church. We have some people who's out there who has not received phone calls. Well, we need to do something about it. We need to do something about it. We need to get back to the basics of what the scripture says, and we need to learn how to come up with a plan. You know, and talking with in the elders meeting yesterday, and you know, Steve said, well, we put things on the war room and we have this. And I think we talk about it and we had these things in place, but let's go a step further and let's make them happen. You know, I want to be the one who let's make a plan, let's do something instead of talking about doing something. So we got to try to come up with an idea. So when I was looking at this, I started looking at a couple of scriptures. I'm just going to read two or three of them here before we get to the meat of where we're going. The first one was found in Revelations 2:26. It says, and he that overcometh and keepeth my word unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. So what I liked about that was he says, and to the one who overcomes and keeps God's works. We all have a work to do. And he says, and to he that overcometh and keep my works unto the end. So my mind starts thinking that cold season's starting to kick in, huh? I know I was getting ready to allergies, colds, it all comes and blended in together. But I like this, he says, it keeps my works. So I start asking myself, am I keeping his works? Am I doing his works? Well, then we're going to get into what his works specifically are. But in Revelations 2:26, I liked also how the Living Version put it. It says, to all who are victorious, who obey me, to the very end. We're going to be challenged. We're going to be challenged to do God's work until the very end. Sometimes churches, sometimes individuals can become complacent. You can get to the point where you're so involved and so active in a facility, in organizations of the church, that you forget how to be an individual and do what God's called you to do as an individual. God's got a plan for each and every individual. And he might say, okay, I want you to be active in the church, but this is what I want you to do on the side. And we have to make sure that we're doing that. Matter of fact, when we look at keeping God's work to the very end, in Matthew 7:21, a verse we all know well, this was taken from the Sermon on the Mount. He says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So when you start putting all this together, Revelation says, the one who keeps his work to the very end. And then in Matthew, he says, the only ones who's doing my work is going to get in. So have you ever really thought, have you ever sat and meditated and thought and talked to God and said, God, am I really doing the work you've called me to do? Am I doing the work that you called me to do? To me, that's where the rubber meets the road. Because you can come to church. You can come to every time the doors are open. You can go to every church event. But the question remains, are you doing the work that God has called you as an individual to do? And then you get to thinking, well, what is it? What's he want me to do? Well, as you read, as you become closer, all of a sudden, his work starts to unveil in your life. But turn to Matthew 25. We're going to read 31 through 46. In this, we're going to see simple ways to make these things work. Through this, we start to see how the church can become more effective in reaching those who find themselves in areas where they can't be at church. Matthew 25, we're going to start, I said 31. Okay. Everybody there? We're going to start in verse 31. He says, when the Son of Man shall come in all his glory. I'd like to stop there for a second. The reason why. God's coming back. Yes. Jesus is coming back. This starts off with saying Jesus is coming back. When he comes back, he's going to be looking for something. I like this. I like this section. You know, it's general, it's basic, but I like it. It's good to bring it back to the forefront of our memory. But here we see, when the Son of Man shall come back in his glory, and shall come again in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on the right hand, and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto him on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So here what we see, he says, hey, Lord's coming back. When he comes back, the group of angels with him, he's going to separate. He's going to separate those who are his children and those who are not his children. And he's going to say to those who are his children, I have prepared a place for you. I don't think we understand that. When we sit and think about that, he has a place prepared for you. For you, for you, for you as an individual. He has a place prepared. The only way we can get there is to pass on.
Right.
That's the only way we're going to get there, unless he comes back.
Right. That's what I told my dad. I was like, you get off this planet one of two ways. You die or you rapture. That's how you get off this planet.
So he has a place prepared for us. So if we understand he has a place prepared for us, it should be our goal to do what we have to do to get there. Our mindset should be to be in the place he wants us to be. And so many times we say, okay, I know he has a place prepared, but once death and dying starts to become a reality, man, we put both hands against it. We become so afraid. We are so against it. And I'm thinking, that's God's will. That's his plan. He has a place prepared for you. Could you imagine? I already know what my place looks like. At least I think of it in my head. There's going to be a tennis court there. And but, you know, he has a place prepared. He knows us. He knows us. That's amazing. He knows everything about us. He wants to give us so much. You think about the good things that you've experienced here is nothing compared to what he has planned for you in heaven. It does not compare. And we need to start thinking of those things more often than thinking of the things that's going on here in this earth. You know, we need to think of what his place is, what his plans are, what he has prepared. Because when you think about those, you get kind of excited. It becomes a reality that this is not real here. That's real. You know? And when you start focusing on that, things start to take its own form and its own balance. But moving on. Let me see. Let me find my spot. Okay, he says in verse 34, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Look here in verse 35. "For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? Saw we thee as a stranger, and took thee in, naked, and clothed thee? Saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto some of the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me." So I think about that. He says there's people that are sick. I mean, there's people in a hospital that need visits. There's people in jails that need visits. There's people that are hungry. They need visits. They need help. There's people who's in need. They need stuff. To me, this is where the rubber meets the road as a Christian. You know what? There's a lot of Christians out there in the community. There's jail ministries. Anybody can go to the hospitals and visit anybody. Anybody can go to nursing homes and visit anybody. Anybody can go to a food pantry and volunteer. These are the very essentials of finding a way to get involved, to give to others. But here's what happens. If we honestly think about it, the church as a whole sometimes doesn't say, let's all go to the food pantry. Let's all go to the jail. Let's all go to the nursing home. Let's all go to the hospital. But churches can say, let's all join this mission team and let's all chip in and let's all help. So everybody gets on board with that. Here's a couple bucks. Let me pray for you. Some people go. But yet, what about individuals getting involved on these things? We need to take it upon ourselves to say, you know what? There's a need. There is a need. I know the jail could use all kinds of volunteers. I used to love going into the jail. You talk about a captive audience. Those people are breaking. Those people are hurting. They literally are hurting. And when you can sit and talk to them one-on-one, even the toughest that think they're tough, they break in front of you. Sometimes they leave Jesus at the door when they get out. They call that recidivism. They keep coming back in. They go out and come back in. But there's a need. You know, here's what really had me thinking about this. We have people in our church that are sick in nursing homes that don't get visits. I see people daily in hospitals, in nursing homes, that don't have people coming to visit them. But yet we as a church sometimes form this organization, we form this bubble, and we do everything in this bubble as one, and we forget to be individuals walking for Christ, to be outside of that and doing what he's called us to do. And that's why in Revelations we open up with, to him who does my work until the very end. You see where I'm going with this? We have people that's hurting. To me, this is the very essentials of doing for God, because he says, when you saw somebody hungry, you did it for me. When you saw somebody who was sick, you did it for me. And too many times, I'm just being honest, too many times we wait as a whole to do everything at once. We wait and do everything as a group. If it's not being done as a group, sometimes we don't do it as an individual. This is the essentials of being a Christian. This is the essentials of walking with the Lord. This is the essentials of supporting the ones that we have sick within our own church. And I know that jail ministry, not everybody can get into that. But if you want to get into it, there's ways of getting into it. You know, there has to be a team, and I want to spearhead this. I want to try to take it up somehow. There has to be a way where we can get people to go to hospitals, where we can get people to go to nursing homes, where we can get people to go to the food pantries. Not as a group, but as individuals. We have to start finding ways that God wants us to use us. Is it, everybody see what I'm saying with that? All right, so he says,
I have a question.
Yeah, what's up, Rich?
How do you know that we're not already doing that?
Hey, I know some are. Some are. I'm not saying that no one's doing it. I know some are. I'm just speaking as a whole of what we got to do. And I would never go around the room and say who's doing it, who's not doing it.
But, God was supposed to bless that secret.
And that's why I would never go around the room saying who's doing it, who's not.
I just have a problem with you when you attack the body.
Oh, it wasn't an attack.
I felt that it was, and that I'm taking it personal because it sounded like you're attacking the people that decide to go to Brazil to minister to the people down there.
Oh, no, no, no.
Or we have something on the. That's how I was taking it. Maybe the others weren't, but that's how I was taking it.
No, the people go to Brazil. That's great. That's being biblical. That's going into the nations. That's biblical. But what I'm saying is sometimes as a congregation, it's easy to support that and forget about the personal side that we have as one-on-one. I'm saying do things as a church. No, you step up and do things as a church and do those things. But what I'm saying is on an individual basis, what are we doing?
Right. We're supposed to live.
Right.
Right,
and I specifically am not going to ask, what are you doing, what are you doing, what are you doing? Because I don't want to shame anybody if they say, well, I'm not doing anything. Right. And I don't want to pat people on the back to say, oh, I'm doing it all.
Right.
You know, I'm just reading the scripture, and when Jesus says, I was sick, and you came and saw me, I was hungry, and you came, that's what he's saying. And all I'm saying is, as a whole, as a group, what are we doing as individuals?
I think it's easy sometimes to, when the church gets something going, to, okay, now let's do something because the church has got it started. But, and I think that's what you're trying to say, you know, when the Brazil team went, we all raised money, we did
right.
Pancake breakfasts, we prayed for them, we did all this stuff. And you're right, not everybody's called to do that. I did not feel, I wanted to go in the beginning, I didn't feel called. He felt called.
Right.
Long story, what I'm trying to say is though, you're talking about not waiting for someone else to set something up for you, but rather to be in that constant commune with God and do it because God's directing you
right.
to, you know what, I see a need for this, and I think that I feel God's pulling me towards the hospital or hospice or the jail ministry or something with children or, you know, whatever it is. I think that's,
exactly.
that makes sense.
Exactly.
And I think a lot of people we can, and I'll use myself as an example, you know, a lot of times you come to church and you feel like, you know, I'm doing my part here. I'm doing my job here. Maybe I'm working with the kids every other Sunday or whatever. Like I'm doing what I'm doing here. But there's so many people out there that need to
exactly
have that family, that church family here. And if we can embrace them and bring them into, you know, something here, then that, you know, and I'm not talking specifically here, but you get my point.
Right. And what I'm really getting at more importantly is we do things as a church. And the church is supposed to function that way. You know, they say, hey, let's go to the missionary. Hey, let's support them. That's what a church is supposed to do. But what we're getting to is individuals, what are you doing outside of that?
Right.
Outside of that on your everyday individual life. And we sometimes as Christians become complacent.
Right.
We feel like, okay, well, I'm doing this for the church. I'm doing my part. But God's saying there's a whole world outside the church that needs to be reached. We need to quit just being isolated within the church. And we need to understand there's people outside the church that we need to reach. There's people in hospitals that are sick. And if you went in there and said, hey, can I just pray for you? Can I just talk to you? You know, I know nursing homes have volunteer programs. There's people in the nursing homes that love to talk. They love to talk.
I worked in a nursing home for almost 20 years, and there's people who would love to be read to.
Exactly.
Because they either their eyesight's bad, or they can't hold the book, or whatever. And you don't know. You don't know if they want to read the Bible. Even if they don't want to read the Bible, just go and spend time with them.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, one lady, I knew somebody who went in and they read Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Okay.
They just sat with her, and they just read Chicken Soup for the Soul. You know what? When you start building those kind of relationships, can you imagine the godly influence you can have on them?
Right.
The goal is to take Jesus outside the four walls of the church.
Mm-hmm. When Rich's dad was in the hospital, one of their best friends, she's our age, And when you look at her, you know, you're not supposed to judge, but you look at her, it's like, okay, she's kind of weird. But long story short, she was going around, and she had a baggie, and it had scriptures that she had written down.
Mm-hmm.
And each person that she passed in that hospital, and we're walking down the hallway, she's like, I have a scripture for you. Would you like to have that? Jesus loves you. Would you like to have a scripture? And if they said no, she says, okay, God bless you. And I said, if I didn't learn anything from you, lady, even though I think you're a weirdo, you love the Lord, and you are out there, and you are willing to step out
right.
and be embarrassed if they say no, but still, you are putting the word out there. So that really got to me. I'm like, well, Lord, I guess I'm not doing what maybe I should be doing. But, you know, she was brave and bold and didn't care, but was loving the Lord and
right.
to share that.
Exactly. Was you going to say something?
I have a grandniece that, you know, there's a button you guys were given out here to ask me about Jesus. I have one of them on my purse, and she's learning to drive, so I let her, I bit the bullet and went with her. So while we were at a stoplight, she looked and she goes, what about Jesus? And I said, well, ask me about him. She goes, well, I am. And I said, was down a little bit. She goes, oh, I know all that. Just, can I have that button? So now she's carrying around for school, but she was, she's only a freshman, but she was nominated for a homecoming court.
Mm-hmm.
And they, one part of that was they had to tell what they wanted to be when they get out, and what she wants to go into is youth ministry.
Well, good.
So she has that button with her in school, and she carries it. And I have no doubt in my mind, anyone she meets, I've never
right.
asked her, but no doubt in my mind, anyone right. she meets will say, this, she'll tell them. This.
Exactly. So the point of this is just to bring the awareness of well, let's read a little bit more. Like, let's go back to verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. Let's think about that for a second. If we was to go to heaven now, and I'm not asking you as an individual, I want you to answer yourself. If you was to go to heaven now, would God have enough evidence that you reached other people for him in this way, in this manner? That you saw people individually, that you did it individually. You didn't do it as a corporate, as a church, but you did it individually, because that's the goal. That's the goal. We want to make some things that we get to heaven, God could say, you blessed me by you gave me something to eat. You came and visited me when I was in the hospital. When I was locked up, you came and saw me. When I was sick, you was there praying for me. See, this is individual life here. This is what I'm getting at. This is where we need to be. Mm-hmm. And like Rich said, some are there. And that's great. But this is something that we all need to take heart. This is something we all need to see and try to jump on board that we can do it. Renola?
Would it be correct to say that God might expect a different thing, like more service from some than others, and that we should not come down on those who haven't done as much as we have, or we should not be intimidated by those who have done more?
I never. Let me emphasize that. I never.
I'm assuming God would expect more from some than he would of others.
But that's, okay. What I want to tie in is this is an individual basis. God might say to Denise, I want you to go to the jail. God might say to Lori, I want you to go to the hospital. God might say to Sandy, I want you to go to the food bank. We're talking about individual, doing what God's called you as an individual to do. Denise shouldn't say, hey, Lori, you need to come to the jail because it's really exciting. And Lori shouldn't say to Sandy, hey, you need to come to the hospital. God's going to call each and every one. And what I'm getting at is we as individuals have to look. This right here is scripture. This is what God said. God said, you did this. You did it for me. This ain't me saying, go do it. This is God saying, I was in this situation and you did something for me. This is what Jesus, if you look in your Bible, these are words in red. This is what Jesus has said.
This just goes back to just, it's your individual relationship
right.
that you are building with Christ. It has nothing to do with anybody else. It's you, it's Christ, and what he is talking to you and leading you to.
Right.
And that's that.
So everybody's going to have different functions. Some are evangelists, some are pastors, some are teachers, some do the works, some just make cards, some bake food. Some people, everybody has different gifts, different talents, different callings. So whatever God's called you to do is what you're going to be required to do. You see what I'm saying?
I wasn't questioning. I said it because I felt like I didn't want anybody in this room to feel intimidated by
right.
somebody else who did more.
Right, and that's a perfect thing. That's why I wanted to bring that up, that everybody has their own, and because the things God holds me responsible for, he's not going to hold Corey responsible for them. The things God tells Teresa to do, he's not going to tell Carla to do. God's going to put, and this is why I always get back to, it's an individual walk with Christ, because we do great as a church as a whole. We do. We want to do a dinner, man, everybody steps up. We want to do missionary work, everybody step. We do great as a whole. But I think sometimes God wants to talk to us individually and say, well, you know, I got a plan for you. God's got a plan for each and every one of us. And what I mean is sometimes we get so into the whole concept of the church.
Well, and let's be honest about this, too. How many people have you guys met? How many people can raise their hand and say, yes, I have heard somebody say, oh, that church? I don't want anything to do with that.
Right.
But if it's you and your kind face and you don't come in the door and say, can I read to you for an hour? You know, or if it's Rainola and she's, you know, helping a child do something, that's different. It's different when it's us and it's our face and it's individual, but we have this covering of a church sometimes and it scares people.
Right.
And because people have had with other churches, maybe, or even who knows, with ours, you have bad situations and people don't want that.
It was
a stigma, I guess,
of
a church, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, that's a great point, that not everybody's called to do the same thing.
Right.
But the point is we all have an individual calling. Mm-hmm. And we need to identify that individual calling within our life. The bottom line is, when I get to heaven, I want God to say, well done. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want God to say, well done. I want him to say, okay, I asked you to do this, and you did it. Good job. I asked you to do this, and you did it. Good job. I wanted you to do this, and you did. That's what I want to hear. That's the only thing I want to hear. I want to be so in tune with him that when he says move, I move. When he says go, I go. And the way we do this is we read the scriptures, and we say, what types of things can we do to the Lord? And God says, well, I'm glad you asked me. I'm glad you're reading it, because in this, there's different ways that you can obtain this. So does that answer, does that bring everything together?
Yeah.
All right, so moving on, as we said, verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't take me in. Naked, and you didn't clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. I'll just stop there for a second. Here's what can happen. Here's a reality. I can get into a church. Let's say I go to this church, a different church, and they say, hey, we want you to help support the missionaries. And I say, okay. And I go to car washes, and I do fundraisers. And they say, hey, we're going to have a party, and we want you to head it up. And I say, okay. And I do it. And the church says, okay, we're going to do grass mowing. We want you to go around and mow grass for some of our members. I say, okay. So I do everything. And I'm at Kroger, and I see somebody struggling. And I'm thinking, I'm already doing the church. I'm not going to help them. Right. Let's say I go into a hospital, and I see someone laying there, and it doesn't come across my mind to pray for them, and I just keep on going. Let's say I'm going somewhere and I see somebody in a nursing home and they're crying and I say, oh, they got issues, and I keep on going. I can be so overwhelmed with doing everything in the church, I forget to meet the need on an individual basis. And when I get to heaven, God says, I was hungry and you walked right past me. I was in jail and you didn't think about me. I was in a nursing home and you kept on going. You see what I mean here? It is so easy to become church-minded that we forget about serving God as an individual to meet the needs for people. And God's going to say, I was hungry and you didn't do nothing. I needed prayer and you walked right past me. And you say, well, God did it in the church. He wants us to meet the needs on individuals' lives on an everyday basis. Does everybody understand that? Does that make sense? I mean, I don't want to lose anybody. I don't want to offend anybody. But this, I want to be the one God says, you know what? When I was in jail, you came and saw me. Thanks. I want God to say, when I was hungry, you was there. Thanks. You see, this is why we do this. I want us to have, because you know what? I don't want anybody in our church to fall through the cracks. They have. They have.
My question is, do people tend to be more compassionate when there's tragedy or...
Yeah, because it's more awareness.
And I think that's what you're saying. You're not saying necessarily be church-minded, but think outside of yourself.
Exactly.
Don't be so selfish and be proud and puffed up about what you're doing for God that you don't see it right. You're blinded, right? It's right in front of you.
Exactly.
And you just don't see it because you're all about you.
Or put yourself in their place.
Exactly. But I was impressed by an article that was on our company email about the situation in South Carolina. It's where in America, we are so into ourselves and our houses and our stuff that we don't even know the names of our neighbors. And it's taken a flood for people to reach out and help one another and get to know and to establish relationships and to help each other.
And that's exactly what I'm getting at, is when something as a whole happens, everybody as a whole wants to do something. Let me give you another example. You know, with UPS, there's been times I deliver to a lot of churches. I get excited going to a church. I'm thinking, oh, we're going to talk.
Yeah.
You know, I go into a church and I'm thinking, we're going to talk. And sometimes they're just so rude. But if I was to go there on a Sunday morning, they would be so giving me hugs and welcome, brother.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
In a church setting, we can be that.
Right.
On an individual setting, I don't really have time right now. See, there's a big difference.
Yeah.
There's a big difference. And what I think what God wants us to see is, I don't want you having that difference. I want you to do it in the church, outside the church. I want you to do it at Giant Eagle as much as you do it as you're worshiping. I want you to do it when you go visit your grandma at the hospital, instead of just saying, hey, as a church, let's do something. We need to be spiritually minded in every aspect of our life. You see that?
Yes.
If we can do it, okay, now... we don't have people in our church falling through the cracks.
Right.
Now we can be out there doing for others.
Right.
You know? And it doesn't have to be, I'm doing it to build up my church, but I'm doing it because I love God and God loves you.
Yeah.
That's the message that we need to convey. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's finish this up. Like he said in verse 45, then he shall answer them saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to the least of these, you did not do it for me. I mean, that would break my heart for God to say, hey, remember that day you saw me stand on the side of the road and you walked right past me?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that day you was walking in the store and you didn't hold the door for me because you was in a hurry? That stuff can happen. We need to be minded of, see, what this comes down to now, it really starts to reveal our individual walk with Christ more so than a corporate walk within the church. I can come into a church and I can give Ryan hugs all day long. Hey, brother, love you, brother. Let's hang out. Let's do something. But then I see someone, say Ryan has a twin, and I see him out, and I just totally ignore him because I'm being active in the church. I don't have time for you out here. We need to do it every day, individually, every day. Because when we get to heaven, God's going to say, hey, what'd you do in the church? He's going to say, what'd you do for me? What'd you do individually?
I keep thinking about this, and I'm just going to share it because I think it might. When my dad died at the funeral, I was so moved when one of the men got up and said, "When Bill goes to the gates of heaven, and God looks at him and asks him, then Jesus is going to say, no, I know him. He brought me to the prisons and the jails, and shared with people who were hungry."
Mm-hmm.
And because my dad was in the prison ministry, and it said something more than I'd ever experienced in any funeral ever. It was just that, he used it and he touched people, and it suddenly it wasn't like he died; it was almost like he's living all over the place.
Right. You know, here's my goal. My goal is for us to have a group of people that's willing to step up and say, you know what, I want to make a difference. I don't want to talk about it. I want to be a difference. I want to make a difference. I want us as a group to be able to step up and make sure that everybody in our church is being called, is being visited, is being thought about. I want us to do it to the point that we're not doing it within the church, but we're doing it outside the church. And we can't get outside the church unless we can first do it in the church. You know? There's a lot of people in our own church. And I want to try to develop a way that we meet that need. Because here's what happens. Say we meet that need. Say, I'm in the hospital for some reason. Who knows? And Corey comes and visits me. I want her to have that mindset that she visits the person in the other bed next to me. I want her to have the mindset that she visits the person on the other side of the room or on the other side of the hallway. We all know somebody in a nursing home probably. And we all visit sometimes. Not all, but you know, sometimes you visit. I want to be someone who visits somebody else in the nursing home. Not just to be so closed-minded, let me go see my grandmother, let me go see my grandpa, let me go see my aunt, but let me see somebody. I'm not saying go into the nursing home and visit everybody, but there's a way that you can have an influence on somebody besides just yourself and your own individual. Does that make sense? So what ways do you think that we can make something happen? And I asked Steve that yesterday. I said, I want to do something. I want to make it happen. I want to make something happen. And he says, well, there's names here and there's names. You know, I don't want, okay, let me go look at the names and let me do something. But there has to be a way that we can track these things. I don't want our church. Here's what would give me the biggest fear. The way I see it, let's say somebody goes into Central Ohio Hospice. And let's say their chaplain comes in and they say, I go to the Alive Vineyard. And they say, well, is anybody from the church come and visit you? No. I haven't been there in 5 years and they just kind of forgot about me. So now this chaplain has to meet the spiritual need for that person when they're legally under our covering. I don't want anybody in our church to go unvisited. It's an awareness that we have to bring to the forefront. You know, pray about it. See what things, you know, maybe God's called you to do it. Maybe he hasn't called you to do it. And that's, we got to be sensitive to that. For someone to say, you know, God really hasn't called me to visit anybody in a nursing home. He hasn't called me to do this. Then do what God's called you to do. But there's a need. There is a need. And I want to meet that need. I want to try to find a way that we can provide spiritually for those who can't make it to the church. Any questions, comments, ideas, thoughts?
Last time I took stuff down to the Last Call Ministry, they said they were in need of blankets and men's socks and probably ladies' undergarments. And they can always use pots and pans because people that are homeless and start over again don't have any pots and pans to cook in and stuff like that. So anybody that brings stuff in, I take it down on Mondays and Fridays.
Okay. They still need the stuff, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah. There's an example there. She's out here in that. She sees it. You know?
I don't know the address. They're on East Main Street,
across from the Salvation Army.
Down by the Cedar Cemetery. I go past Cedar Cemetery.
Are they on Cedar Street? Did they move?
It's on Gay Street.
It used to be an old school.
Right.
Okay, I know. Right there behind them. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, they have clothes in there. And they got food.
You know, the bottom line is we just really have to be in prayer. God, how do you want to use me as an individual?
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. I mean, that's what it comes down to. God, what do you want me as an individual to do? What do you want me to do?
And I know. On Black Friday, they always have a lot of sales, and I know Penny's and Kohl's in the past have had like towels on sales for $1.99. So last year I went down, I got like $10 or $12 worth of towels and took them down to Last Call Ministry because I figured they needed stuff like that too.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of put a challenge out there for everybody to spend $20 on Black Friday for someone else.
And I think you guys have different relationships with other people in the church, and you guys have different relationships. There should be nobody in our church falling through the cracks.
Yeah.
Talk to somebody. You know, try to find out who they are. Let's step up. Let us step up and do something. You know, I'm going to look at some list. I'm going to try to call somebody and visit somebody this week. I don't want anybody to go unnoticed. I don't want anybody's spiritual needs not to be met. You know, that's the whole synopsis of when Jesus said, follow me. And he said, let me bury my father. The guy's father was not dead yet. So what he was saying is, let the spiritually dead, let them go. Let's come and save somebody else. If they don't want to listen, let's go. And sometimes we get, and that's the thing we was talking about, sometimes we can hold on to something so tight that we forget about everybody else. There's nothing wrong with praying for your family. There's nothing wrong, you know, you get to a point and say, God, they're yours. I can't do nothing else. They're yours. Let me go help somebody else. But what happens is we get so focused on this that we totally forget about everybody else. And that shouldn't be. That shouldn't be. I just want to make a difference. And I want to make a difference according to what the scripture says and how we can make that difference. Does that make sense?
Yep.
All right, well, let's go ahead and close in prayer. Any prayer requests?
An unspoken for our family.
Unspoken family.
Pray for the Bush family, the loss of their son.
For my daughter, Nina.
Nina. You know, bottom line is, let's find an opportunity to be God's hands and feet. Let's start within our church. Let's start within our group. Let's make a difference. Let's not talk about making a difference. Let's make a difference. You know, maybe we can come up with a list and we divide that list up and say, let's make sure everybody on this list is visited who wants to take a person. You know, something. We got to do something. We can't, you know, for us just to come here and talk about it and do nothing, we didn't accomplish anything. You know, and like I said, I know some people's probably already doing things, and it's not getting on people for not doing it. It's just making an awareness, you know. I do a lot here, but then there's some things I'm not doing. There's always room to do something more. You know, there's always room to do something more for God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
I have one.
Yeah.
So it obviously goes without saying that if it's God's will, but just asking God's favor for a blessing in our family.
All right. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you, thanking you for your word, thanking you for your guidance. Lord, I know for a fact that the Holy Spirit is so strong that you have a plan for each and every one of our lives. Lord, the goal is just for us to meet that need according to what you called us to do as an individual. Lord, I know that you've called so many people to do so many things, but the goal is, Lord, is for me as an individual to do what you called me to do. And I just pray, Lord, that I can be sensitive to that calling, that I can become aware of how you've called me to live. And Lord, I want everyone else in this room to be aware of how you called them to live as well, that we could do all the things that you want us to do. And Lord, we lift up unspoken prayer for Denise. Lord, you know all that's involved in her family. Lord, you know everyone. And we just pray that you would meet the need across the board and that in those lives. Lord, we don't know the names. We don't know what they're going through. But Lord, you know the names and you know what they're going through. And we just ask that you would meet those needs. And Lord, we pray for the Bush family as they lost a loved one. Lord, we just pray that they would turn to you because we know that your word says that you're close to those who have a broken heart. And Lord, as their hearts break, we just ask that they would see you, that they would see your face, they would see your compassion, they would see your mercy, that they would see your salvation and your favor, that they would just step up and say, yes, Lord, I want to follow you. Lord, we pray for Nina, Renola's daughter. Lord, you know what she's going through. You know what she needs. Lord, we pray for a physical healing, an emotional healing, but Lord, more so the spiritual healing, that you would just reveal yourself to her, that she would just surrender to you and just walk according to your ways, that she would have the comfort and the peace that you provide. Lord, we pray for the Mango family as they have surgery, someone going through surgery, Lord, or Margot. Lord, you know exactly what Margot needs. And Lord, we just pray that you would send people her way to administer her the gospel. Lord, we pray for the doctors as they go through the procedures. And we just ask that this would be an opportunity for her to see more of your glory. Lord, we pray for Bill's wife who's in the nursing home. Lord, we just pray that you would sustain her. Not only her, but Lord, we pray for Bill as he goes back and forth to visit. Lord, we pray that there would be some people that have compassion on Bill that and his wife, that they would step up and make those visits. Lord, we pray for Rachel and Ryan as they're trying to follow you in every way possible. Lord, we just pray that you would just intervene in their family and just take over and just show them which direction to take. And Lord, whatever doors you want to be open, we pray that you would open those doors. And whatever doors you want to stay closed, Lord, we just ask that you would keep those doors open. Lord, we just pray as they just stay so focused on you that everything else would fall into place according to your will and your way. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.